Good afternoon. I'm Robert McDougall. This is Anjan Patel. Wow, who knew that we'd generate so much excitement? A commercial real estate firm, Skype for Business, right after lunch. So I'd like to start our track and just, you know, we're just explaining our journey to Skype for Business. We have had a few challenges in the beginning, but great partnerships and great experiences with our Microsoft teams. I'm going to go ahead and explain a little bit about our business. As I said, we're a commercial real estate firm, Cushman & Wakefield. We have 43,000 employees, about 60 offices, offices in 60 countries. Global presence in just about every continent across the world. Core competencies, obviously about 60% of our revenue is through brokerage services or sales and leasing of large Class A buildings and different facilities management, global occupier services, and property management. So you can imagine a very different set of users and personas, very different needs spread throughout the globe. Really have to talk about the journey that we've taken in the last few years. This is a timeline of our growth starting in the 1700s all the way to now. But really in the last 2 years, we've grown quite a bit from mergers, acquisitions. Sometime around 2010 and it's really when we started our large journey. We've consolidated twice in the last couple of years and really did, I would say, four rebranding efforts in the last 18 months. So you can imagine just how much growth and along with growth, the integration activities and the experience to flatten our network, solidify our Wi-Fi, get corporate standards for data centers, local branch offices, Wi-Fi management, security policies. It's been really the effort for a couple of years now to grow and to mature that platform. And we're still doing this today, obviously. One big thing that we knew we had to do is a global unified communication strategy. So when we don't necessarily are in the same tenants from Office 365, we have on-prem Exchange, we have Lotus Notes, this is one thing that we can provide to our company that makes us feel like we're one company, a unified platform. So, as I said, on this journey, we have many different areas of connectivity, telephony, audio, visual, IM and presence, local SIP trunk, or local PRIs, E1, SIP trunks, and data centers, many different egress points. You can imagine the complexity that we faced in the very, very beginning. Telephony, again, probably 50 to 60% is name brand telephony platforms of IMITEL, ShoreTel, Cisco, on-premise Skype for Business. So again, just a mix of everything, along with no-name players, cloud-based telephony systems and things that we just can't manage and maintain or sustain from a support perspective or management perspective. Again, another big piece of this is our audiovisual or audio and video conferencing platforms. One of the first things that we did in our journey was to consolidate everything we had, WebEx, GoToMeeting, Skype for Business, Cisco, Polycom, to BlueJeans, knowing that we would do that for 12 months and move into PSTN conferencing. Again, just getting people used to the technology and then migrating to our final strategy. Again, IM Presence, the same thing. Jabber, Skype for Business on-prem, hybrid. Our goals here is obviously technology consolidation, reduce operations cost, and support headaches. Manage the workplace costs as well as create a unified global platform that everybody could use. Another goal is to improve accessibility and productivity and experience. And obviously we can now collaborate with our clients, earn business, and provide a better experience for Salesforce as well as our internal staff. Another big piece that we, another big goal of ours was to create a digital workplace strategy. So not only thinking about Skype for Business and what that does to us, but working with our workplace strategy and our real estate team that are building offices, new offices, net new, as well as refreshing to create that unified experience from if you're sitting at your desk, sitting at home, on your cell phone, on your tablet, or in a conference room, kind of that one-click experience and that feeling that everything was working together. Obviously, I just went over the technology landscape for our current operations. And our future is SIP trunks regionally, local offices, PRI lines, hopefully PSTN in the cloud is our ultimate strategy. Skype for Business Online for telephony, using audio codes for SBCs and Sonos, and Skype for Business Online for audio and video and PSTN conferencing and IM in presence. I'm gonna give the stage over to Anjan, who's our global chief architect and is working primarily on the Skype for awesome. Business.
Thanks, Rob. Okay, first of all, thank you guys for joining us and hearing us, our story and our journey of Skype for Business. And I'm sure you guys may not be sleeping because of the food, I guess. So as you heard from Rob, that a lot of M&A in last 18 months, like every organization brings their own technologies, own processes, their own tool sets, as well as their own support structure. So the biggest challenge which we had as organization was that, okay, the every office, so we have globally, we are around 250 offices globally in every single continent. And what happens that, okay, every single office has telephony, which is literally like, okay, it's different from other office. And it creates the challenges for us. One, basically that, okay, unless you are in office, you do not have or you cannot use that same phone number. Our support infrastructure costs, is skyrocketing kind of thing. So idea is like, okay, how we can consolidate all those telephony infrastructure and make it one global infrastructure and create the value for our business. Usually, IT, we consider it as a cost center, but we wanted to make sure that, okay, hey, we provide the business value to our, our partners and help them grow their business. So before I get into the guiding principle and what our journey were, what was architecture, design, and deployment plan and everything, how many of you are aware, with Skype for Business platform? Is anybody, in this this crowd, you guys have Skype for Business implemented in your? Awesome, a lot of people, awesome. How many people have Skype for Business on-prem setup? Okay, almost everyone, fantastic, okay. So I think you guys are aware what Skype for Business is and things like that, so I'm not going to definitely bore you here. So the point is like, okay, we wanted to implement a global solution for 250 sites, for 30,000 plus individuals. We wanted to standardize the hardware. So as I said, like, okay, the every office we had, like, okay, the Polycom phones, Avaya phones, Cisco phone, things like that. So we wanted to standardize the hardware from the backend perspective, as well as from the client endpoint, like headset, handset, we wanted to standardize that. We wanted to make sure that, okay, the guiding principle, we wanted to make sure that the cost of our backend servers as well as our backend infrastructure, we reduced drastically. So, you know, as you know, you guys may be knowing it, like to run the Sky for Business on-prem, it requires a ton of resources. Like you need a SQL server, you need like ton of mediation server, this front-end server, like, you know, like, okay, the ton of management from the operations perspective, the maintenance monitoring, there's a lot of overhead. So we were thinking that, okay, hey, you know, yes, that's one route, but, you know, what can we do that basically? Can we reduce something? So we were trying to be innovative there. We wanted to, as I said, you know, like, okay, because multiple organizations came together, various M&As and everything, a lot of our offices had local E1 PRI line, so kind of, you know, like, okay, the telephony is like a spread out. Then there was a two or three, you know, like, okay, organization which we merged. They were having a SIP trunk, which is like, okay, the regional SIP trunk and thing. So it was like technology landscape was all over. So idea was that, okay, if it's a country like United States, we wanted to centralize the SIP trunk, continent like Europe, and there is compliance reason and all those things like Germany and London, UK and everything. We wanted to make sure that, okay, hey, you know, we provide or we build the solution so their data sovereignty issues and, you know, like, okay, where the SIP trunk can end and start and all those things are taken care kind of thing. So, you know, hey, you know, if you have to use a local SIP gateway or PRI gateway, we can do it. And then there was another third option for us basically that, okay, hey, you know, if I do not want to invest in hardware or anything, can I use Microsoft PSTN calling services? So those were the couple of guiding principle and direction which we took it kind of before we jump into, you know, like, okay, our architecture and implementation. When we started, so we engaged Microsoft. I think we have our partners actually, you know, like, okay, sit here. So we had N of our vendors here. So we started working, you know, as a team. And what were the options, basically? So we had four options. One option, I think most of you are using the Sky for Business on-prem. So it includes on-prem PBX, SIP trunking, the conference, and obviously the large data footprint. So that was one option. The second option we had is as Sky for Business hybrid. So we as a company organization, we have heavily invested in Office 365. Our entire mail infrastructure is in Office 365. So for initial choice for us was Sky for Business hybrid, even if we go on-prem. So that was another option for us. The third option which we had, you know, as from the architecture standpoint was Sky for Business Cloud Connector Edition. I don't know how many of you know about the Cloud Connector Edition, but we are one of the first client, you know, Microsoft client who adopted Cloud Connector and, you know, like, okay, deployed and started using it. So we have like, okay, the tomorrow we have a session for a Cloud Connector in a detail, right, Nikolai? On this slide, I think it's tomorrow. What time, Nikolai? Do you know? 12:30, yes. So if you guys want to know what Cloud Connector is and, you know, like, okay, all those details, I would highly encourage you guys to sign up. There is, you know, like, okay, so what Cloud Connector does is still on-prem setup. However, it is like, okay, the pizza box setup. You take one, you know, blade or any machine, basically, the pizza box machine, create spin-off, like a spin-off, like a two or three virtual machine using the Hyper-V. Again, Microsoft has laid out really solid process there. You need SQL Express. Can you believe? SQL Express. No SQL Enterprise, nothing. No mirroring, no DR capability. You just have, you know, you build one small machine, 3 VM, you put 3 VM with a SQL Express, and that's the only thing you need, actually. So again, I think Cloud Connector, you guys can, you know, like, okay, listen to those things. I think tomorrow in this, you know, like Nikolai will take you, you know, deep dive. But that was another third option. And a fourth option was totally go 100% Sky for Business online. So idea is like, okay, hey, you know, let's use the 100%, you know, Microsoft PSTN calling plan. Most of our Kushwick, not most actually, everyone. All our Kushwake users are using Office 365 email anyhow. So, you know, like, okay, we are on E5 platform anyhow. So, okay, yeah, let's get the PSTN offering from Microsoft. And I don't need any infrastructure on-prem. I don't need anything. I just need operations, basically. I can even have a monkey, and basically I can manage the right entire telecom infrastructure. But anyway, I think it's just a joke. So as part of out of this four option, the two options which we, we decided that we are going to go after, like Sky for Business Cloud Connector Edition and Sky for Business Online. So those are the two options we selected and we are moving forward. Obviously, we'll talk about that. So this is like kind of a high level architect, what we are doing kind of thing. So as you can see, if I have the Cloud PBX, if I'm using Microsoft PSTN offering, I don't really need to have any on-prem infrastructure from back-end perspective, right? So straight away, I'll provide the license to the user and provide the number to user on a cloud, and user stays in a cloud. And only thing as from the IT infrastructure perspective, we only need to give to user internet bandwidth, and I'm good to go, kind of. So that's option one. The option two was that, the cloud connector. So we implemented the cloud connector. And in cloud connector, we have two different type of implementation. One implementation which we have is using regional SIP trunk. So like in North America, we are regionalized SIP trunk. So we'll have a one SIP trunk and however, as I said earlier, in EMEA region, I would have the regional, local, country-specific SIP trunk, like Germany and France and UK, and other countries. I may be doing kind of a regional SIP trunking from the UK itself. So those are the two options. And I think our Microsoft partner asked us specifically to put where what we implemented. So as you can see, in California, we have used our PSTN calling from Microsoft, and very successfully, I think people are happy. And rollout is going, the fantastic. From the cloud connector, which is on-prem, lightweight on-prem implementation, we have implemented cloud connector in Australia, for Australia and New Zealand. And we are in a process, I think by this Friday, we should have cloud connector implemented in Chicago data center, which we have actually for our North American region, actually. And I think Europe is also in the process. So great progress, I think, and all these details, obviously, cloud connector, what it does, obviously, you guys can ask me a question if you have later. And if we have, if too technical, if I cannot answer or something, obviously, you guys can talk about that in tomorrow's session. Okay, so that's the kind of architecture that, what we did, where we wanted to go. Now, what's the biggest challenge, right? Okay, so architecture engineering is easy task. The biggest challenge is for us that, how we can deploy these, this entire program. So Microsoft, as I said earlier, we partner with Microsoft, and Microsoft came up with Microsoft Skype Operation Framework. And, I think we are one of the first customer again, to use that operations framework. So what this give me, basically, this operations framework. So Microsoft comes up with the implementation plan. So how we are going to implement Sky for Business from the back-end perspective. What is a training plan? What is the adaptation plan? And, and what's the then rollout plan? So this entire thing is basically part of this framework. And this is a framework which we are using. Obviously, if you are interested, I'm sure Nikolai would be, our Microsoft partner will be able to provide those information, or, you guys can reach out to me and I'll be happy to help you guys. Again, these are the detail, 8 weeks program. We are rapidly moving towards Sky for Business implementation. So it's really, as you can see, week by week, really thorough discussion, really intense discussion, implementation, and things like that within the team, actually. In 9 weeks, we are, done in particular region or particular site. So Microsoft came up with this framework and say, Kushwick guys, we have a framework. Why don't you guys go and implement it? So, this is fine. But what happens that, okay, Microsoft is going to give us, like, okay, the framework. It doesn't mean that it's going to fit in any of our organizations. So obviously, it didn't fit in our organization. So we had to customize that framework. Again, not much, but at least it gives us a foundation, okay? So once the foundation was built, we says, okay, hey, you know, let's customize it. So, and the biggest challenge what we have, as you can see, like governance and policies. So obviously that would, you know, like, okay, for us as a Cushwick, we wanted to make sure that, okay, we have our CIOs, our business partner are aligned with the program because it's a cultural shift for our end user. Rather than using the normal VoIP phone, you know, now they have to use either the headphone or Skype for Business soft phones. Obviously, it's a cultural shift. So we want to make sure that we have a good governance process and we have a business buy-in to make sure that, okay, we have a good, smooth rollout. So we implemented the governance policy. The technology, I think the technology is really the Microsoft operations framework it covers. It covers, like, specifically the back-end technologies that, okay, like Cloud Connector, you know, like, okay, the implementation, client readiness, so like, okay, so client readiness is another challenge for us, guys. And I'm sure many of you basically, you know, like, okay, if you are on the journey, we needed to make sure that, okay, the hardware, so a lot of time, you know, like hardware is like 4-year-old or five, you know, like 4-year-old or 5-year-old kind of thing for some users, or they are using Windows Office 2010 or something. We wanted to make sure that, okay, we provide them the latest client, latest OS, to make sure that they have a best experience. So client readiness and monitoring and management, because as we talked earlier at Cushwick, we had so much diversified and, you know, like, okay, the fragmented technology, monitoring was also fragmented. So we needed to make sure that when we are building this technology together, we have a good monitoring in a place so we can make sure that, okay, because full, right, kind of, you want to make sure that, okay, the phone is like, okay, the lifeline of the organization, want to make sure that, okay, it works every time. And we have a 98% SLA or above kind of for a call quality. So it takes, you know, like, okay, we needed to make sure that we have a good monitoring and management. Asset management. So again, you know, like, this was another aspect of it which we needed to work on it, where we can track our headphone, you know, like, okay, not a headphone, but desk phone specifically kind of thing, to make sure that, okay, hey, you know, where they are going and, you know, like, okay, how we are managing them. Readiness rollout. So this is, again, you know, like, part of our deployment. So Microsoft and our vendor partners, I think they definitely help us big time. So that was another big ticket item for us, readiness rollout. We needed to make sure that, okay, hey, you know, users are ready in terms of the training, in terms of their desktop, in terms of their phone, because we wanted to give, make sure that, okay, that entire ecosystem, whatever the device they are using the technology. The network readiness, again, that's a huge piece, right, kind of, because prior to this implementation, all egress it out, so we will have a PRI line. Every office will have a PRI line, right? So it doesn't, it hits the local network in that site or office. However, it doesn't stress my either internet egress or my MPLS to my data center. Now, because of now this architecture and this implementation, we needed to make sure that, okay, the network is ready and it can handle all these audio and video traffic, which, you know, like, okay, the Skype for Business is generating. So network readiness is a big piece of this program, and, you know, like, okay, we had a great success in that. And obviously, rollout training. Training is, again, as I said, big part of it. As most of our user were used to with, like, desk phone, you know, like, okay, or like that Bluetooth phone. So we are, like, okay, right now around 60 to 40 or 70 to 30, right?
70-30 is what we're shooting at.
So 70%. So 70% of our user base is going to use the headphone, no desk phone. So 30% people will get desk phones. So obviously it's a cultural shift from 100% desk phone to 70%. So obviously we needed to make sure that we have a good user training adaptation program. And, you know, like, okay, that was another kind of a topic and workstream which we took care of. And the support and operation alignment. Again, that's another big workstream, as, you know, like, okay, and again, you know, like, okay, all this framework, you know, like, okay, this topic comes up because of the where we come from, how we grew. Because of all the decentralization support, now we are centralizing the support, so we need to make sure that, okay, all the support and operations are aligned with this program. And obviously, adaptation drive. So we customized this framework based on this. We had a different project plan. different workstream lead and different governance processes for each stream. So make sure that, okay, hey, you know, we have a successful rollout for our users. So where we are right now, so you want to take this?
Sure. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
I want to go back to the slide before this as well. Just
which one?
This one.
Okay.
I can't stress enough that Microsoft can provide, you know, the best templates and great and guidance, but customizing this for your business and how your people and your culture fit, including globally, right? So oftentimes, wherever the headquarters is, you're focused on that region and often build your plan based on kind of where your central IT folks are. And I think that you miss a lot. EMEA works completely different than ANZ. North America, obviously, different than a lot of different regions. So taking the framework, building your custom framework, deployment framework, and focusing, really, the technology, I hate to say this, is the easy part. The adoption and the plan behind taking away things that were somebody's lifeblood. So in a primary, 60% of revenue, as I said before, comes from salespeople, brokers, millionaires. They love to slam that phone down, and when they get upset, or you know, like it's something to them that is a culturally anywhere in the globe is something that is a pacifier. So saying now you no longer going to have this, you're going to use a soft phone or a headset or a USB microphone. Understanding those things, and a lot of times the IT department runs the adoption program. I think where we maybe made some, not mistakes, but we approached it, tried to engage, and it's the right people, the business analysts and in the business, and the top level CIOs that may not have the finger on the pulse of exactly what their user base are doing. So I think focusing on this, it looks pretty flat, but you know, look at it by region and look at it by cultural and your persona, and really just focus on persona of mobile worker sales, back office, and those different things by region. So I won't spend more time on that, but so where we are today, 30,000 people on Office 365, Skype for Business Online, about 15,000 people on O365 E5. We did. I don't know if anybody's heard of the Lightning program. I don't know if it's still available or not, but great practice for starting to dip your toe into what the challenges are or the adoption is going to be, and I highly recommend if the program's not available, maybe just start people on PSTN conferencing and get people used to that, and it slowly moves into the enterprise voice field. So August, September, we had 200 users on PSTN in our Northern California offices, about 100 people so far on Cloud Connector, and we'll have North America ANZ on Cloud Connector here very soon. October and through the end of next year, we're going to hit about 15,000 people in the U.S. and 15,000, so around 30 or more 1,000 people by the end of our journey. So.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks, Rob. So I don't want you guys to think that, you know, our rollout or whatever we did was amazing. You know, yes, it was amazing for sure. but it has its own challenges too. So again, I, you know, like listed down a few of the challenges what we have. And again, when I say it's the challenges, it doesn't mean that they are a roadblock or something. It's just that they were challenging, and if you guys are, you know, like embarking on a similar journey, just make sure that, okay, hey, you know, you take care of it, or, you know, you are aware of it. So one of the challenge, like, okay, because, you know, like we selected to go, or we decided to move forward with the Cloud Connector as well as the PSTN calling, the both the option use the Microsoft Cloud PBX rather than on-prem. So it requires Office 365 E5 licensing for every single user. So Cloud PBX has a couple of the, you know, functionality issues, not issues, but yeah, the deficiency, you know, in capability right now. So one of the biggest one is like, okay, the E91 capability. So right now, it doesn't, if I use a cloud connector, and if I'm using, let's say, Verizon or AT&T SIP trunking, they do not provide the service saying, hey, you know, which, you know, like if I'm calling a 911, okay, which floor I am on, which wing I am on, which seat I am on. So to give you an example, the compliance, right, if you are in New York City, and if you have like more than 10,000 square feet space, what you need to provide when you call E911, we need to provide, you know, like, okay, which wing they are on, you know, like which floor they are on, basically all 9-yard information. And those information we are not able to provide. So obviously there are some challenges. We are working with our partners to overcome that challenges right now. So it's not going to, you know, like, okay, stop us from our implementation. However, we had to change our rollout plans basically because of the supposed, you know, few capabilities. So I cannot, let's say, roll out Skyfall Business in New York and Chicago, our big centers basically, where we have a large space, office space. So I, you know, like, we'll be focusing on the smaller offices, or, you know, like, okay, the smaller regional centers. However, it's work in progress. The caller ID control, so that's another challenge which we have. So you guys may be used to, like, you put a *9 or something like that, and then you can, you know, like, okay, mask your number when you call someone. So that capability is not there right now. However, Microsoft is working with us to provide all this capability to us, maybe by, you know, again, I'm not authorized to speak that, okay, when they provide. however, they are working actively, and as soon as we have that, we will, you know, make sure that, okay, the user who are sensitive to those capability, we will roll out to them too. But again, you know, like, okay, because of these challenges, we have to keep tinkering our rollout plan to our users, who is a very sensitive users probably. The auto attendant, I think a lot of people, you guys may have heard auto attendant, so that capability is not there right now, but obviously it's coming, and a lot of our offices is not using auto attendant, so we are good. However, the offices which use auto attendant, you know, we are putting, you know, pushing back on the, you know, like, okay, in the back of the queue for rollout. And attendant console, so Microsoft, so again, you know, we have to engage with a different vendor to make sure we have attendance console. So those are the few challenges which we have. The other challenge, so this is again, cloud connector and all those things, that challenge is related to technology. The other challenge which within our organization, as I said, branch office network readiness, so, and I think I try to cover, because of the internet egress and, you know, like, okay, the data traffic on, you know, network traffic it would generate, obviously those are the challenges which we had so far, and obviously we are working on it. But again, just for you guys to know that, okay, hey, you know, something to look for. Because if you have a Skyfall Business online, the data, the traffic, you are not, you know, like, okay, from office to data center. So usually your traffic would flow from office or your branch office to data center. Now, as soon as you go to the cloud PBX, your data is flowing outside over internet. So that's something I think, you know, like, okay, we needed to work on it to make sure that, okay, we have enough capability, you know, capacity around the internet to make sure that, okay, the call quality maintains. So the call monitoring. So how many guys of you have used any call monitoring outside of Skyfall Business default? What you are using? Event Zero? Oh, yeah, okay, cool. So Event Zero provides, you know, like, okay, the good capability, right, for monitoring. So Microsoft bought Event Zero, and they have provided, you know, like, okay, the call monitoring. However, in my mind, the capability with Cloud PBX right now is around 70% of that entire suite of Event Zero. It doesn't mean that, okay, it's not useful or anything. It's definitely useful. It is working out great. However, there are a couple of capability like export of the data for more analysis and something. Sometimes we struggle. Is it showstopper? No, it's not showstopper. Obviously, we are moving forward. So it's, I think it's fantastic. But again, something to look for, and Microsoft is keep on enhancing this technology and call monitoring. So I think we are fine, but again, just another challenge, because expectation management, when we come from on-prem, we say, hey, you know, this is what I'm looking, I was used to, now I have something minus 30%. So you know how I can make sure that, okay, hey, you know, that 30%, you know, like, okay, do I ignore those things, or I have some other means to capture those data? And user learning curve. Again, we keep talking about that. That's the biggest piece, I think, and that's something we are working on. That's another challenge. So those are the few challenges, I think, in our program, but I think things are otherwise going wonderful, thanks to our Cushman team, our Microsoft partner, and our other vendor partners. So fantastic. Thank you, guys. I think that was the last slide. And any questions from anyone? Yes. So for a PSTN call, yes. So one of the things is basically so we have two options, right? So Microsoft PSTN, that is a call assisted. So if someone calls 911, example, what is the term, Nikolai? So operator assistant, right? 911, operator assistant. So, you know, like, okay, you call 911, you know, like, okay, hey, you know, are you on exactly this office? And you can verify saying, yep, yeah, this is office, you know, and or some different address basically. And, you know, like, okay, the call get routed to 911. If person is not, you know, like, or person is not capable to answer that, you know, like the address or confirm, obviously, you know, like, okay, they are going to dispatch the whatever the address, they have it on the file. Or for a cloud connector, we work with a telco, SIP trunk, basically, right? And whatever our default address, so we work with a telco, AT&T, and Verizon. And they know the address that, okay, hey, you know, this is the address for this phone number, and we put the sticker on every phone that, okay, do not call if you're traveling, do not use this phone, you know, this Sky for Business call for E91 or 911. Yes. Two changes. Obviously, you know, like a simple answer is obviously upgrade the bandwidth. However, our network architecture, so what we did as part of this program was that before, you know, like, okay, all our branch offices were using MPLS connectivity from, you know, like, okay, the offices to our data center. So what we are doing it basically, we are trying to, so we have a two simultaneously program running actually. One is our internet, so we want to egress out any internet traffic from the office, local offices, to outside of our network. We do not want to carry that data traffic to our data center and then throw it out, basically. So that was one of the thing, actually, which we are working. The second is, basically, we are working on SD-WAN. I don't know whether you are familiar with SD-WAN. So what we have done, you know, like, okay, we do the sizing activity that, okay, what type of internet bandwidth I would require. And then, you know, like, okay, we got the AT&T or a Comcast business, literally, like, okay, our office based on the size kind of, you know, commodity, internet connection. And we have implemented all the policies. So all my Sky for Business traffic egress out directly from that local branch office. So, again, that's for the smaller offices. Obviously, the larger office where we have, it goes to the our data center, and then it egress out from our data center. So, you know, like, okay, the two different strategy depends on, you know, like, what is the size of our office. So if I have a 200 people or 300 people in office, obviously I'm going to carry the traffic to my data center. If I have a 50% people office, you know, straight away egress it out from that branch office. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry?
Express route.
Which Express Route you are talking? Oh, Azure Express Route? No, we are not using it right now. No. We don't need it.
Express Route actually not recommended even for Sky for Business. The reason we say so, we implemented GeoWireless DNS, so and every time your user tries to connect Sky for Business, the user gets the Edge server, right? We have Edge servers across the world, and if you wish, I can send you a link with exact locations. So let's say user in California tries to reach Sky for Business services. The user in California will get local Edge close to him. So it's actually the distance between the office and Edge, it's nothing. So express route, it's not requirement for Sky for Business. Sorry? You mean at Cushman?
Sorry?
Okay, so if I'm routing internal traffic, yes, I have a QoS service established. And a great question, yeah, after the Comcast, you know, my internet egress, yes, I do not have any established QoS. So far with our bandwidth utilization, difficult question to answer, yes. We are still working on it to make sure that we have solid QoS every single day. Because we cannot have like, okay, so far right now during our initial implementation, out of 30 days, it works fantastic, 28 days, and then there would be a day, basically half hour or something like that. Yes, we have some challenges with QoS, and we are actively working that, okay, hey, you know, how we can avoid or how we can manage that. So yes, we are trying to work, you know, work around that solution right now, yes. Yes. Yes.
One of the biggest issues we run into, this is what's keeping us on-prem, avoiding the cloud, is that they want TDM-like quality all the time.
I hear you.
And leadership at the highest level has to accept that as soon as you drop all this traffic on your network, you can't control it all. And so jitter happens.
Absolutely.
And so are you setting that expectation with your users? Because you can chase call quality issues 24 hours a day.
Agree. And that's that's definitely a challenge, right? And so far, our calls have 98%, 98%, right? We have a, yeah, so our SLA, basically 98% quality ratio, I think we are, you know, like, okay, so we are able to maintain. I think I would only say that, yes, we are still working to make sure that, okay, even the call we have, which is like, okay, the 2-person call, which is having some issues, we make sure that, okay, it doesn't happen. Either we have to use either the, you know, like, okay, the commodity-based internet, or we have to get into the MPLS or something. But yes, that's kind of a work in progress right now for us. Yes.
Certainly,
you're absolutely right.
Certainly
that's
a challenge.
Yeah, that's a challenge. And that's the reason, actually, if you remember, you know, like, okay, that's a, a branch office network readiness. Yeah, that's the biggest, you know. So we are rolling out our office by offices. So obviously, I think those few challenges which we need to overcome as part of our rollout. Yes.
When doing such a big project, end user satisfaction and ensuring that their experience will be, if possible, better than before?
Absolutely. So we are, you know, like once we roll out office, so we are trying to do office by office rollout. So we send out the surveys. Usually once rollout happens, we have a training session, and then we have adaptation drive. So when I say adaptation, you can say, hey, you know, what you are doing adaptation, you only roll out telephony. But, you know, adaptation drive is like, okay, hey, you know, are you using for IEM? Are you using for your conference, you know, audio video conference? So those are, and the survey is, you know, like, okay, the one of the primary, you know, like, okay, the feedback source. And the second feedback source, so every office, we have a two type of people, individual, like we will have office manager, as well as we'll have a site and support people, individual, who goes basically and make sure that, okay, check it out, that, okay, hey, you know, what's the mood on the ground, kind of. So we combine these two things, kind of thing, from the user satisfaction survey point of view. And then from the backend point of view, we go to our monitoring and say, hey, you know, so we daily basically we go and say, hey, you know, what type of a call quality we are maintaining on day-to-day basis? Are we, is it good? What type of a jitter we have? You know, like, okay, you know, things like that kind of. So these three things we combine and see, hey, you know,
how things are going before we go into this different another office kind of thing. We do the lesson learn, and then take it to the next office, make sure that it goes well, smooth. We learn from our mistakes or whatever it may be, and then keep moving forward.
It's all part of the adoption piece that you've created. Exactly. But there's surveys and there's templates that Microsoft does provide, and our partners as well. And so, following up, not only a week after, but 3 weeks and a month, so you can look at the technical side of things, but also getting some feedback from the users, or you get surprised. And we've been surprised a couple of times. We've gotten great feedback. This is the best thing ever, right? I'm not attached to my desk anymore. I can roam. This is great technology. And then 3 weeks or 2 weeks goes by, and you've heard that there's a lot of challenges with quality. So, trying to find the right balance between proactive response rather than reactive is something that we learned along the way. But really being vigilant about going back to the sites and continuing that, and that's partnership with your operations site services folks and the business managers, or the office, we call them business managers, but office managers. So our service and service delivery lead in every region just get on their weekly calls and speak to every technology we're doing. We're also doing tenant-to-tenant migrations, Active Directory Exchange migrations at the same time, and starting to move to SD-WAN and developing that strategy. It's all coming together, but you have to be in front of the business. It's just a lesson that we've learned.
Do you have a dedicated group for this? I mean, you've got, obviously...
Yes, we have a project. No, it's a shared, right? No, it's a shared resources on the site-to-site basis, but project teams. So we splitted these implementation in two, the twofold, right? One is a project team and implementation team, which is a dedicated, which makes sure that, design is done. Yeah, I'm just saying, right, from the back-end implementation, readiness, network readiness, client, they are taking care of everything, making sure the client is ready, kind of, right? That's the one thing. The second is basically another challenge, not challenge, but another task is we need to provide the headset to user, right? This day your Avaya phone is going to die, and you start using Sky for Business, kind of, right? So we provide the local site and support, and our office managers, they are shared resources. We don't have a dedicated resource, but they will go and kind of help user. We'll have set up a Genius Bar type of thing. If anyone has an issue kind of thing, they come. But those will be the people on the ground kind of thing is the shared resources on a site and support services side.
What's been working for us to date, it wasn't perfect from the beginning. Certainly it's an evolution, but program manager is a must. We have a front end project manager and a back end project manager. And all that means is, somebody that is the front end is coordinating number porting and user adoption efforts and training and what headset you want to order from a catalog, what's your persona, getting with the business managers and really having those discussions and coordinating all those efforts. And then the back end is, do we do cloud connector, delivering the equipment, getting the data center set up, making sure that we're prepped from the solid from a network readiness perspective, but that is coordinating with our operations and site services team as a joint effort. So really the project team has been the core to everything. And also our partners. But as you all have been in this, I'm sure, the business for a long, long time, you get two or three partners in, they're only as good as the information that you give them to be successful. The best partner in the world is not gonna be as successful if you don't give them the right information. So, oftentimes you get offered a project manager or two from the partner, and then you have another partner on the other side giving you two project managers, and it just becomes really, really confusing. And the RACI matrix is like a squiggly line of colors, right? So just having a core team that are really good and agile has been successful to us right now.
Yep. Thank you.
We did. we absolutely did. So we did, 12 months assessment of calling, plans, obviously conferencing services, relocated all our PRIs and E1 lines, also tried to put some soft costs to maintenance and PBX, but at the end of the day, the numbers are pretty flat. It's hard to really put together that business case that makes it look really attractive that isn't extended out over at least 4 to 5 years. The key to this is collaboration and connectivity. And then you marry that with your workplace strategy to give that unified experience, not just at the desktop from a technical perspective, but a complete experience from the monitors on the wall when you walk into our offices, to the conference rooms that we're in, to the desk, to the tablet, to the phone. It really pays off in the long run. So we did go through a very painful ROI study, and it's changed over the last 18 months. So in places that we thought we could get rid of PRIs, which was a big part of the synergy savings, we learned we couldn't quite do that yet in certain regions. Obviously, it's not ready. PSTN and cloud isn't ready in certain locations. We had the expense of Cloud Connector, where I thought we could get rid of PRIs, we had to keep them. So it constantly evolved, and also realizing that you need that calling plan, which is additional expense above E5. And so knowing exactly where, do I do international calling? Can I route that a different way? It's a work in progress. The most solid ROI plan in the world changes. It's fluid. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love the way you said we are gutsy. Yes.
We have.
We are trying to innovate, and obviously we are taking a lot of risk. However, so far it's paying off pretty well. We are very excited about this implementation.
Our company is, I have to say, it's a 43,000 user startup company right now.
Exactly.
So, private equity owned. Was purchased, obviously, is a big, big private equity firm. And in that model, you get a big pile of cash. And you worry about EBITDA and operations cost, right? Because eventually you're going to go public, or that's what the hope is. The private equity is they want to make money and make everybody happy, and eventually it's an attractive company. So once in a career, you get the opportunity to have a big pile of cash and take risks and really go for what go for aggressive strategies. So it's really fun, but it's either a career maker or a career killer.
But we can connect later if you have any questions. Well. Obviously, we can exchange the email address or something. Yeah, and reach out to us. Yeah, how it goes, and we'd love to share the information with you. Absolutely. Awesome. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you.
Cool.
Okay. Cool, guys. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for showing
up. Thank you.
Thank you.